get on here and I bring only the worst news every week, week in and week out, and I just think, Father, for the last year, since they invaded Ukraine, when is the last straw? When are you going to stand up and call a halt to all this? And I just think, I think your people are getting a little tired of waiting, Lord. And then I think of some of the examples in Scripture. I loop the Bible. I'm presently in Jeremiah once again. And thinking of Jeremiah's example for us, he, of course, awaited the exile to Babylon. Talked about that for almost 40 years. Talked about that through five kings, starting with Josiah and ending up with Zedekiah. And, you know, going through kings like Jehoahaz and Jehoiachin and all these names that were so similar, all related, really him and the Lord. This is what the Lord told him. You must not marry and have sons or daughters in this place, for this is what the Lord says about the sons and daughters born in this land, and about the women who are their mothers and the men who are their fathers. They will die of deadly diseases. They will not be mourned or buried, but they will be like refuse lying on the ground. They will perish by sword and famine, and their dead bodies will become food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And that, I think, that pretty much sums up what we are facing at this time. I remember I asked, and I'm sure I've told this before, I asked the Lord, how bad is this going to be? How bad, you know, could you just give me a glimpse of it? So he sent me a dream that same night. In the dream, I was in the ocean. The little building we were in had gradually, the water had come in, and then it had swamped the little building we were in, whole group of people, and then it finally carried the building away, and the seashore was no longer, and we were floating in the ocean, open ocean, and I was trying to tread water, but I had about 15 people hanging on me, hanging on my feet, on my arms, on my body, and then people were hanging from them, so I couldn't get my breath. I would struggle to the surface only to be dragged back down, and then I would struggle to the surface, and suddenly I felt an undertow at my feet, a very strong undertow, just a sickening undertow. I hate that feeling. I was in the ocean once in Hawaii, almost got dragged into severe waves, which would certainly have been deadly. It was on the southern side of the island, and we probably shouldn't have been snorkeling where we were. The only way we avoided it, we dove to the bottom and we crawled on the bottom by seashells and stones, and we crawled out of that. My daughter and I were both scuba divers, so, you know, we just kind of did that instinctively, and we've done that before. Anyway, I know in Fiji we were going through a canyon and the current was very strong. The only way we could hold ourselves back was holding by the stones. But anyway, instantly I knew we were in deep ocean. There's no way I could do a surface dive and get down to the stones. And I looked over my shoulder to see what where on the ocean open, what could possibly be there. And there was a hole. It was a water tornado, 2 or 3 miles wide, spinning so quickly that I just in that instance, I said, Father, there's no way. There is no way. There is no way we're going to get out. We're going to survive what is to come without him, unless we just keep our eyes focused on him. And if you want to get a glimpse of what that dream was like, the next time you're doing the laundry and you put the clothes in the washer and it's on the spin cycle, just imagine that you're a little person the size of a Lego person and you jump into that spin cycle. That's what I saw. That's That would be an analogy. Anyway, so let's not... Jeremiah never got tired. He complained, but always it was, what do I have but you? I've just got to go on. You know, I've just got to deliver your message. It just boils up within me, and I can't help myself. So I guess that's how we are. That's how I am with his tales of woe every week. It just boils up. Oh, my goodness, do people know this? So here we go. So the first of the terrible stories is the Joshua Phillips on Crossroads. He works for Epoch Times, and he has Crossroads, his own little sub platform on YouTube. He said that based upon the crematorium usage in China, that the experts estimate that 6 million bodies, 6 million deceased Chinese bodies have been burned in the last month, and could be as high as 10 million because people, it's only the urban Chinese that have access to crematoriums. The rural Chinese do not. So if they die, they just bury them. And it is estimated that 400 million are dead thus far in China, and that the entire COVID narrative, the vax, it's all falling apart. I would pray, please pray for everybody. I got word today that a dear friend now who has had the vax, you know, is having cardiac problems. I know my sis, after she got the vax, she had to have a pacemaker. My husband, after the vax, he's on medication to regulate his heart rhythm. So John Looney, which we have heard from him for 2 years now, reports that babies, they were wondering where all the baby bodies were for funerals. And he found out that the baby bodies, the deceased newborns, are being taken straight to the crematoriums from the hospital, so that there is no record, no public awareness of the level of infant deaths that are occurring. Have the leaders apologized for this vaccine? That they now say, no, we never tested it for transmission. We never tested it for efficacy. They had no idea what they were doing. All they wanted was to upload spike proteins for population control and graphene oxide, so we would be an antenna. They're continuing. Now, every medication is going to be mRNA, and now they're going to start putting it in our food. And we get to the issue of transgenderism. There is a very good video from a prior social worker in a transgender clinic. She herself is homosexual. I'm not sure how she orients herself. But she worked there, and she thought she was really helping these kids reach their optimal potential. But what she found was it was really very, very bad for these kids. They were urged to make decisions that would be permanent, that would be debilitating, defacing, would lead them to be virtually non-functional in so many areas of their lives. But she opined that it was no longer okay to be homosexual. She is homosexual. But now if you are homosexual, the urge is that they must be transgendered to match their inner identity of gender. And she opined, is this the edge of the wedge toward transgenderism? There's another article here. Maybe it wasn't she. Maybe it's this other article. But it got me to thinking that once was homosexuality really the edge of the wedge of transgenderism, changing, which includes changing anything that God gave humans in the garden. This would include your gender preference, and it would lead to your hormones. Then it would lead to cutting off this and that, or augmenting this or that to match what you think you feel inside when you're 9 years old. Is there any limit to the body, soul, augment, or alterations? And the transgenderists say no. They say that eventually they will be so imbued with chips and bionic this or artificial this or added this or optimized this that they will not be able to distinguish between original equipment and the added improvements. So we're on a very dangerous slope here. Please pray for the children. This is that you, so much of this you cannot alter back. You cannot detransition. Your left is kind of in no man's land. And they say, just like the vax adverse reaction victims, you're just left to yourself. Nobody wants to talk to you. They don't parade you anymore. They don't adore you anymore. They just turn their shoulder. Washington State now, leave it to the lefty West Coast. Yeah, I'm here too. Wants to remove kids if the parents oppose transgendering their child. Interestingly, in Ukraine, if you were born male and you say you're now a transgendered woman, the Ukraine government says hogwash. Go join the army, bud. One little addendum here that doesn't really fit into this category, but the euthanasia program in Canada is switching into high gear, and in the bibliography there is a brief story about a vet calling for a wheelchair, a veteran who's in a wheelchair. What does the veteran want? She wants a wheelchair ramp. Instead, she gets a kill-yourself lecture from the MAID program. And it's all money. Think of the money. You know, a ramp is expensive. It would be very cheap to kill you. It's all money. As of today, April 19th, we enter the blood sacrifice to the beast. 13 days of explosives, fire, death, especially to children, culminating in May Day, May 1st, as part of an ancient Babylonian, or even before the flood, but carried over into Babylon, fertility ritual. The first day, April 19, is the day relating to fire. Fire god is Baal, or Moloch, or Nimrod, the sun god, also known as the Roman god Saturn. This is a day where that demands the sacrifice, especially children. Oklahoma City bombing, especially the daycare center there, killed a lot of children. The Columbine High School massacre killed a lot of children. Virginia Tech, the BP oil spill perforated the granite floor of the Gulf, leading to an explosion and a fire. The Boston Mass Marathon explosion in 2013. The fertilizer plant explosion in Texas in 2013. April 19, 2019, duplicates of the Arch of Baal were erected in both London and New York City. The goal is to put 1,000 of these Babylonian-inspired temples to Baal in cities across the globe. Would that be important? Well, then this city is dedicated to Baal. Remember, Baal is the sun god. That's why fire, the fire of explosions, is an imitation of the sun. It's an honor of the sun god. We're setting a fire in honor of you, sun god Baal. The requirements of a sacrifice to Baal are sheer terror on the part of the victims, destruction by fire, and human sacrifice. Yeah, that's what Baal is like, especially children. The darkness or Satan views younger human sacrifices as most desirable. Why is that we remember Yeshua's word, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. So Satan knows that the Lord has a very high interest in preserving children, protecting it. So what does he want to go after? Of course, children. Baal worship during this time would be an adult orgy if unplanned pregnancies resulted from this. Of course, that would be unplanned parenthood. So fortunately, they had the convenient opportunity to destroy their babies in another sacrifice to Baal. So we can see how modern liberalism has deviated little from the Babylonian method, the Babylonian precepts of satanic honoring. A bonfire used to be called Baal fire or Baal fire, which imitates and honors the sun. So that was, I thought that was interesting. A bonfire is really Baal fire. The last part of this deals with America sold out. I went back to World War II and the articles in the footnotes, and it was interesting of how our presidents, our leaders, saved Marxist Russia from Germany and then allowed Marxist Russia to take over all of Asia and then support Marxist China. So we are where we are right now. We have a North Korea, we have a China, and a Marxist Russia, although Russia is trying very, very hard to present itself as a Christian country. You know, Christianity was taken away from them over 100 years ago. They have been a Marxist country for 100 years. Anyway, the U.S., U.K. gave Russia 15,000 combat aircraft, 23,000 tanks, almost 500,000 trucks, and enabled Russia to not only beat back Germany, but also to invade and take over the eastern half of Europe. Russia joined the war against Japan 1 week before it surrendered, but that allowed Russia to claim Manchuria, northern Japan, and North Korea. After the war, the U.S. continued to give Russia 60 warships and dozens of amphibious landing ships. I don't know what those amphibious ships, was that to invade Japan? General Patton says the U.S. U.K. could have won the war against Nazi Germany and liberated Europe without their alliance with and massive military aid to Russia. After the war, Russia was just a pain in the neck. In 1946, the year after World War II ended, America's Chinese nationalist allies seemed to be on the verge of defeating Mao's Soviet-backed Red Army and winning the Chinese War. Terry and his Secretary Marshall ordered the U.S. Pacific Fleet to dump all tanks, aircraft, and other weapons Congress had earmarked for nationalist China into the sea, allowing Mao to declare a Chinese Marxist victory later that year. Now that is just horrific. Patton was shot in the neck with a non-piercing weapon, sending him to a hospital, not a near hospital, not a familiar hospital, but he was sent to a distant hospital, and the day after announcing that he would be released soon, he was dead. Reports at the time are that he was injected with cyanide. And I go back and I say this, I take this time in order to let us know just where we sit militarily. I don't think we could defend our country. Let's continue here. Then President Clinton gave our jobs away. Biden opens our southern border. Biden orders all our reserve weaponry to be sent to Ukraine. So now the people that are in the know say that the replacement of the weaponry that we have sent to Ukraine is going to take 8 years. We have given Ukraine 40,000 missiles, 1,400 drones, 26 million rounds of small arms ammo, launching systems, radar systems, and untold other numbers and forms of weaponry. There's a link, csis.org, in the footnotes. On-site interviews with Ukrainian fighters said they have shared rifles and not enough ammo or food. Where is all this military-grade weaponry going? On top of all the weaponry, some opine that $140 billion has gone to Ukraine, thanks to the taxpayers and administration's great willingness to give away taxpayer money without a thought. The dollar is backed by nothing, was supposed to be backed by full faith and credit. I mean, you know, do you want full faith and credit or do you want gold backed? The yuan and the ruble are gold backed. The dollar is now sinking at an accelerated pace. Has America been sold out every, yes, by every top politician, by the central banks? I mean, it is a calamity. Satan is against the Western, the West. The U.S. Will default, David Wilkerson told us that. What will be taken as collateral? Our bank accounts, like Cyprus, our country's assets, also like Cyprus, minerals, aquifers, technology, ports, all of it. If the U.S. even wanted to defend itself, could it raise enough money to wage a defense? Well, I'm soon going to run out of time, but I'm going to try to get in here as much as I can. And what did we leave in Afghanistan? The estimates run from 7 to 8 billion to over 80 billion over the time that we were there. And they left it. Orders were do not destroy or retrieve. So it was obviously left. For whom? Is this to enable the Islamists, when the gun is shot, to overrun Europe? Is that what the equipment there is for? Is that why we left it? Is that what the money is for? Is the money to establish a global Noahide law system? That's going to take planning and money. The Afghanistan hightailing, the Saudis decided not to be the linchpin to the U.S. dollar. And I think they could probably tell which way the wind was blowing. And it was blowing in favor of the BRICS nations. And what did our central bank do? Well, it was a dollar printing free-for-all, which was guaranteed to devalue the dollar, called quantitative easing, plus no banking. There was a sanctioning free-for-all, just about forcing nations upon whom we declared sanctions into the BRICS nations so they would have some platform upon which to pay their debts, their international debts. We are left with a no-backed currency, a report of over $70 trillion in national debt, no manufacturing, and a military stricken by the vax and divisive wokeness. The Lord told one of his servants, and I just thought of this just before I started this, and I thought, where is that? But he said, this next war, America, I have always gone with you, but this next war, you will go in without me. We are going to be, this country is going to be roundly defeated because of the sins of Balaam. And I offer to you, that's why the powers that be chose Marxism and not fascism, not the fascism of Germany. They chose Marxism because they could insinuate it into our schools, corrupt our youth, and the sins of Balaam would bring down this nation. So I'm out of time. I have more to say. But anyway, anything could happen. We'll be right back. Flashpoint with us is Stephen, and he's in St. Louis in a motel. And what you doing there, Stephen? Sounds very interesting.
Well, we were actually at the EMP Shield plant yesterday. We spent the entire day with the staff there. And of course, for those that may not know what EMP Shield is, this is the company that produces kind of like a fancy surge protector for dealing with not only lightning strikes, things of that nature there, but also for dealing with electric magnetic pulse. And we were meeting with the engineers, meeting with the scientists, meeting with the president and the CFO, CEO and CFO of the company. And it was quite an adventure. We recorded a lot of the information as well. And because of what they do at this facility here, let me back up. I'd have to say, Bonnie, the main reason why we wanted to record this excuse me, is because there's a lot of people, and Bonnie, your video is running, by the way, just in case you didn't know.
No, I can't see it. I turned it off.
Oh, it may be freeze frame then. Don't wave at me, and just in case, just that way I'd know.
I'm waving.
Okay, it's freeze frame. That's all it is.
Okay, you're scaring me.
Yeah, the powers, believe me, they are listening in and they are watching.
Well, I think they froze my word.
Yes.
I had to reinvent how I would put it up on the Hebrew Nation website.
There you go. Well, so getting back to this part here, we were there because we wanted to meet with the people, meet with the engineers, because, you know, like any product there is, if you support that product, you really want to know that you're standing for something that you really believe in. And because otherwise, we wouldn't want to do it. And so we went there to really learn about what the device was. And I'm not here to sell this to anybody right now. I'm just making the point there. But as a result of this, because they deal with the technology to protect against electric magnetic pulse, this is something that a lot of people are concerned about, because especially with the possibility of war with China, things like that. And there is a lot of different government agencies that use their product to begin with. And because of that, there is that inside knowledge that these guys get because they're meeting with generals and the Pentagon. And so they have similar knowledge to what I get. And in fact, when I'm there, they always like to pick my brain, because they said, your intel is higher than our intel. So because you go all the way up to the Joint Chiefs and able to peep into that corner of the world. So they're always asking me. And of course, I like to ask them. Well, the CFO of the company, Roddy, we spent a lot of time even afterwards. We went to his home. He lives completely 100% off grid. And
wow.
He told us his story why. He said he basically got forced into living off grid. And so I wanted to know his story.
Yeah.
And, what made you do that? He says, because he used to be, he ran several companies, multi-billion-dollar companies. And he said one day, he said the CEO of the company that he was working for comes in and says to him, we need to consider doing the vaccine for all our employees. He said, what is your thought on it? He says, well, I personally think it's a bad idea. And he said, to force people to do something against their will is just not something you should do. He says, now granted, he says, I'm in the corporate world. He said, way up the food chain. He said, I make massive amount of money. He said, I have a good life. I have all the fancy cars, the Porsche, the Beamers, you name it. Fancy house, everything. And he said, so, life is good for me, right? He says, but, when it came to this vaccine issue, he said, I just felt like you don't force people to do something. He said, that's like tyrannical. And he said, he asked me, and he said, I told him, no, I wouldn't do it. He said, the next thing you know, a couple of weeks later, he said, they come back and the CEO says, well, we have decided we're going to do it. It's going to be required, not just with the employees of the company, but also with all of our vendors. We're going to make them do it as well. But you're going to be the one, Rowdy, to actually announce it to everyone. And he looked at him and he said, and if I say no, he said, then you won't work here. And he said, I packed my bags and I left.
Wow.
He said, that's how strongly I felt about it. He said, and at that point then, I realized, he said, that this is no laughing matter. This is very serious. And if they can control you that easily.
Yeah.
And he said, and really that's all it was. He said, one thing I did learn, it was all about control. And one of the things he told me too, in fact, we did an interview together and he said some of these things on the interview. So if you watch Israeli News Live, you'd be able to see that interview too. But he said something to me that I've heard for so long, but from a different angle. And he said, Steve, he said, the corporate world is all staged. I said, we always talk about that when it comes to wars in the world, that yeah. they're staged. I said, but I've never heard that about the corporate world. He said, yes. And he said, and you're right, the wars are staged. He said, the corporate world is staged. He said, the mass media is staged. He said, look at it. He said, every time, he said, like, for example, if you go into mass media, he said, and they report on something, he said, everybody reports on the exact same thing, and it goes right across the board.
Yes, and almost the same words.
Exactly. He said, but the thing is, you have to understand, the corporate world is no different. And he said,
I suspected that.
Isn't that strange,
yeah,
Bonnie? I mean,
yeah.
You hear that? Well, here's one thing, though, that caught my attention, though, and this is a little bit shifting gears on this, but he says to me, he goes like this, he says, you know, because I asked him out of the blue, I said, all right, Rowdy, I said, want to know something. I said, I know you guys work a lot with a lot of the generals and things like that in the Pentagon. I said, have you guys actually talked about Planet X?
Mm.
He said, you know, Steve, he says, I have to be quite honest. I always considered that like a conspiracy theory.
Mm.
He said, until one day, he says, I'm in a meeting. He says, we're having a conference call. We're online with the Pentagon. And he says, and we have several generals online with us. And he says, and you know, and we're meeting there and we have all the big shots that are there, the engineers. He says, and one of the generals all of a sudden literally says the word Planet X in the meeting and the concerns that they have for it. He says, and that was the first time I had ever heard what I would consider to be a credible source about Planet X.
Was this with his EMP stuff, or was this with his former company?
This was with the EMP shield.
Okay. Wow.
And of course, the reason being, of course, naturally, is that I also find out that EMP shield is working on technology that deals with the solar flares, the bursts, the different types of energy that the sun is putting out right now that they're not used to. And of course, now, granted, they have not fully developed it. It kind of goes back even when it comes to the electric magnetic pulse. They said there's never been an electric magnetic pulse before. So to say 100%, can the EMP shield...
Carrington event?
That I don't know about.
I know about
the Carrington event, but I don't know. I guess maybe I should say it like this. And we've never had an EMP strike to where we could say that we have a device that we know for 100% fact can protect against it.
Right, right.
But based on the fact that we know theoretically what an electric magnetic pulse does, how it works, like, for example, if a nuclear bomb goes off down on the ground, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to create an electric magnetic pulse. But if it goes off 20 miles up into the atmosphere, yes, it will. But then again, where are you at on the ground? And where, like, for example, if you have an EMP shield on your car, is the car sitting in water? Is the computer in your car already encased? Is it not encased? There's a lot of different variables. But based on what the science from the Pentagon scientists, the government scientists, different branches of the government, they have different knowledge and different spheres numbers that they say, okay, this is what we believe the standard would have to meet. This is a type test we'd have to do that would simulate enough of what we're talking about to be able to protect against it. So that's really, that was, and in doing this, this was kind of interesting to me because at the same time, and oh God, please, you know, help me, Father. I don't want this to sound like some kind of infomercial because I'm not interested in that part. What I'm trying to get at is that we're dealing with not only the effects of what could happen in a war, but it's also the fact of this types of energy that are coming in from the sun. And at the same time, like I said, he had mentioned to me that, yes, they had actually used the very term Planet X coming. And of course, they recognize that the events that are coming off of the sun and stuff, things like that right now, may very well be as a result of the effects of Planet X and what it's doing to the sun, et cetera. The other thing that he brought out, and this is what I found very interesting, was that everything that they have heard from the generals, et cetera, when it comes to this binary system, is you need to have everything in place, done, prepared, and ready by 2024. Huh. And that kind of goes back to that memory stick. I ended up giving it to Begley, but I mean, I still have a copy. I had a copy of it myself. I kept a copy regardless. But in the memory stick that I had gotten, 2023, December, that was the calculation that the mathematician that gave me this memory stick had. That's what his information showed. And of course, he said to me he was still missing one calculation that would give him a more precise timing for the coming of this planet. And then, of course, when I got involved with people that I know, they kept saying, no, I don't want to say completely no. There was a date for 2024 for them as well. But as I was always told, there were three different systems that we track, and we didn't know for sure which one was the real deal. The Vatican is supposed to know, but we don't know. And at the same time, though, Bonnie, then I get the information here a few months ago that, you know, this thing, of course, travels in the ether. That was something that indirectly Mike did confirm as well, that it does. And he seemed to indicate that the ether produces such a tremendous amount of electrical charge that we're trying to use CERN to tap into that charge. I think really what he was going to there is what I have suspected all along, and that is that we're actually using CERN to open up a portal to bring this system in. And I think, Bonnie, that's what's happened every time. I think even during the days of the Egyptians, I believe that they had learned to be able to tap into that dimension. They open it, basically, it's kind of like this. This is just my hypothesis. I don't say it's a fact. I don't know. But from the, I'm taking the intel that I hear, and then I take and I'm looking at ancient documents and biblical records that we have, and I'm saying to myself, it's almost as if in another dimension, Planet X passes the Earth at a certain time, every so many thousands of years or whatever the case may be, and that what happens is each time technology on the Earth becomes so great that during the time of that passing, they basically decide to open a little window for the rascal to slip in and cause all kind of mayhem for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, So the thing is what has caught my attention in all of this is that as with man, he's always meddling with these things, and then we see these things happen. You know, Bonnie, I even think about there was a brother that kind of he follows the work that I do, and he did a video himself recently, and he was talking about, you know, is Satan loose or is he bound? And he really did an amazing a thought on this. But even if we didn't look at that, if we look at Revelation 9, Apollyon, and the fact that that the, you know, the bottomless pit has to be opened, and then you have the Euphrates, and I think all of these things are so allegoric in the way they speak about it, but it really seems to be that man is the one that ends up somehow or another ending up with some kind of technology that allows them to end up getting in. And of course, another thing that keeps coming to my mind is I think about, they talk about nuclear bombs. When a nuclear bomb goes off in this dimension here, from what we have understood, that nuclear bomb affects other worlds and other dimensions. And so my thought is, in theory, is if a nuclear device affects other dimensions when it goes off, then perhaps when this system, binary system, is passing our Earth and stuff, even if there's not something that's opening a window for it to come in, is it a situation to where you're still having the effects of the system? And because that's what I was told, we would know that it's getting close because of the effects that it has on everything around it, right, on the Earth.
You know, that is what what Admiral Byrd, when he was flying, he got to believe that there was a hole in both the North Polar regions and the South Polar regions. And he flew his plane, was somehow commandeered, and this is him talking, this is his, you know, and he met the ruler down there in this beautiful Shangri-La world that is underneath the Earth. And that's what he said. He said, man has now, that's what he told Admiral Byrd. He said, man has now found atomic energy, and that they don't realize what the use of that is doing even further than the Earth.
I can believe that. Oh, and that is something probably that it would really be behoove to try to find out more about. Bonnie, did you know that he went there twice?
Byrd went to the North Pole twice.
South Pole, Antarctica. Like you said, we know that he went down there the first time. He goes and he meets with the entities that live within the inner Earth. And, of course, at this time, he was demanding that, you know, Hitler and his entourage be handed over. And that went over like a lead balloon. I wonder if the Chinese were using a lead balloon when they flew over America. But anyway, that just kind of do that one. But you know, it didn't go so well. They didn't agree to do it. And from what I was told, it's the Nordics that live in the inner Earth there. And Venetians. And the other thing that was very strange is that I've always heard that there are Venetians that live in the inner Earth, but there's also Venetians that visit our planet from, of course, the planet Venus. That's why they call them Venetians. But they say that the ones in the inner Earth are not allowed to leave inner Earth. And every time the subject ever got brought up as to why, nobody knows the answer. Hmm. And that's just kind of weird.
Yeah. Do you think it's the angels that were locked down there in Jude?
You know, well, here's the funny thing. I have suspected that. And then, of course, and again, if that were to be the case, you know, I mean, they do look more human from what I've been told. You know, they're just tall. And could that be why we have what we have today? I'm gonna steer a little bit into a crazy direction here for a moment, Bonnie, if it's all right.
I think we're no strangers to crazy.
No, and you know, I mean, there's, what is the scripture? I think it's in Corinthians, of talking about bringing our thoughts, subduing our thoughts. There's something to that effect. I forget exactly how that's worded there.
Bring every thought under control?
Yes, it's where you're bringing your thoughts into obedience to Christ, right?
Yeah.
Now,
don't you know, empty your brain like meditation.
Right, right. And here's the thing. Now, a little while back, we were, you know, there's, of course, everybody knows, there's all kinds of atheists at work in the government, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they don't like to use the word spirits. They hate that word. They like to use the word energy. It's energy. But even amongst the atheist scientists, because, you know, you have both. You have scientists that are believers, and you have scientists that do, you know, they just consider themselves atheists.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that they have been, we have certain types of equipment that detects the movement of spirits or energy. And literally they can see, like, for example, if they're monitoring an individual, they can see that energy or that spirit go into that person. That's actually caused a lot of the atheists to actually question their own way of thinking. Because in other words, they've come to that place where they would say, you know, in some cases, some of the atheists that work with the other scientists would say, you know, that, you know, I have to just confess, it's a spirit. We can't just say it's energy, because it's obvious that when it goes into the person is changing, their demeanor changes, who they are changes. Now, in doing this, though, we also discovered that there is a major uptick of that type of, as the Christians would say, possessions that are happening on the west coast of the United States.
Well, it's so left, I am not surprised.
Well, here's where they have traced it to, Bonnie. They're tracing it to fracking. Believe it or not, fracking.
Wow.
And where they got this idea from is that they know that inside the earth, in the inner earth, there are spirits that are trapped beneath, inside the what we call the center of the earth. And there, of course, you know, besides the fact, okay, we have what we would call fallen angels in the inner earth, but then they also know that there are spirits in the inner earth. And they had come to the realization that what keeps them within the earth, or in this prison, so to speak, is the fact of the oceans in the inner earth. It's like water is almost like a barrier. And now, if you think about it, the scripture says, remember, you know, Lazarus, he's in hell, he lifts up his eyes, he sees the other guy there, and he's being comforted, you know, and we know the story, you know, he can't cross over because he said there's a great gulf fixed between you and I, or you and him.
Yes.
And so, and of course, these scientists, they're not looking at the biblical aspect. They just sit there and say, water must be a barrier.
Hmm.
And right now we have 50,000 plus wells that they're using. And even though they say they stopped using nuclear devices underground to do the fracking, we never did. We still use it.
Wow.
And as a result, they believe that that is what has caused the uptick in those spirits able to come through, because we're busting through into those oceans, opening up the portals there, and they believe that they're basically inadvertently causing those spirits to come and inhabit humans.
Do you think it's inadvertent?
Well, it may not be. Of course, and the reason why I say that is because we already know that there are certain entities that even now are working with, like, for example, CERN has been able to contact the entity that claims, and we've spoke about that before here, has claimed to be the one that wants to bring, or claims to be Nimrod, the spirit of Nimrod, and wants to be able to inhabit the body that they brought up out of the ground. So, but in saying that, this is the reason why I was kind of going in that direction. As the scripture says about, you know, subduing the thoughts and things like that, people may not realize, just, you know, in other words, the thoughts that come to our minds are not necessarily our own. And I did a video just recently called Intrusive Thoughts, and I used that expression because it's the worldly expression that we hear a lot of times, where people suffer with, you know, thoughts that just don't ever seem to stop, you know. And I think where the problem comes in is they hear it in their own voice, and so therefore they think it's themselves, when in reality, the more you begin to look at the scriptural side of things, a lot of these thoughts are not from us to begin with.
Yes. You know, we are, can you wrap up in about 30 seconds?
Yes.
This has gone so quickly.
Yes, every time is going quick, right? So
yes.
Anyway, so let's just say like this, Bonnie. The whole thing is we need the mind of Christ. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. That sums it up completely. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And don't be fearful. If you're being bombarded with thoughts and things like that, remember, first recognize, is it from you? Is it really you? Or are you saying to yourself, oh my gosh, I'm not like that? Then that shows it's not you.
Yeah.
So cast it down and get rid of it. Maybe that's the way we sum it up right there, Bonnie.
Thank you so much. I know you're in a hotel room. It's late where you're at, but thank you so much for joining us, Stephen.
Thank you. Have a blessed
trip home, and we'll see you, trustfully, Father willing, in another week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and I'll We'll be right back.